Let's go.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
Hello, catch uppers. Welcome to today's show.
Hello, catch uppers. You're talking to them like they're a race now.
What do you mean they're a race?
Like they're a country. Catch uppers. It's like, well, a country of the world.
I mean, they are a group of people. They're all in the club. They're all in the catch up club.
Okay.
So it's just another word for race.
We should name our fans. You know how like
we don't have fans.
Nah, you know how they're like famous singers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like what's her name? Rihanna's people. They're all called like.
I don't know what Rihanna's are, but there's
what's an example?
Little Monsters or Lady Gaga.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a fan, you're a little monster.
Okay.
What are we, Josiah and Ellie?
The Jellies.
The Jellies.
The Jelly Group. The Jelly Gangs.
Thanks for listening, Jellies.
The Jelly Beans. Jelly Beans.
Jelly Beans, thanks for tuning in. I've got to apologise. It may sound like I have a cold. I don't. One of my nostrils has been bleeding all morning.
I know. It
sounds like I've got a cold.
You won't shut up about it.
Well, here.
Chuck a Band-Aid on it.
No.
Chuck a tampon up there.
No, Ellie.
No, seriously. Have you never seen She's the Man?
Yeah, they do that for bloody noses, don't they?
Yeah, I've got some in my bag if you want to.
Let's not do that because for some reason I feel like that a photo might surface on Instagram of
So. Hey, I'm just trying to help. Are you more of a pad guy?
No.
Is that your problem?
I won't say what I am because it's not suitable for broadcasting.
Hey, we're in the podcast. We can say whatever we want.
Oh, can we? Yeah. Well, I'd rather let my nose bleed. Can I say that?
Oh, you're a free bleeder.
Yes.
Oh, God. So sorry.
What's a free? I don't know what that is.
Free bleeding is when you just don't wear anything.
Oh.
It's like free balling for men.
I have two sisters and I'm learning a lot more from you than I ever had in my whole life.
Well, I pretty much am your sister, bro.
It's true.
You know?
I'm closer to you than my own sisters.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know my sisters' names. No, I'm serious, I don't.
It's Bronte and Shannon.
Thank you very much.
So you know.
And Ellie.
And Ellie. Hey, enjoy the catch up today. We have an incredible story from a local man named Alistair about his journey with blood cancer, which is incredible.
Another local we had on was a girl named Grace. Mm. She went viral during the week. Her story is unbelievable as well.
Yeah. And we get people to rename our station because Hit 96.9 just not good enough anymore. Just doesn't cut it. So enjoy. Speak to you again soon.
Are we ready?
The catch up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Got a bit of a PSA for the people listening, a public service announcement.
We're doing a lot of those this morning.
I know. I'm angry. One of our favourite shows on TV has really let me down, and I'm fired up.
I get angry. I get angry, but I don't let the anger in.
Let it all out, bro. This is a safe space.
This song always makes me happy. Automatically,
yes,
Ellie. Gogglebox, brilliant show on TV. We all love it, right? You're watching people watch other people on TV. Sounds like a basic thing that won't work, but it ends up taking off this TV show and it rates through the roof, doesn't it?
It does.
My roommate Morgan and I, very like the odd couple we kind of are, mm-hmm. We applied for it and it looks like we're in the final stages to get on Gogglebox. I'm not joking. They loved us. I knew one of the producers on the show. Morgan's a Kiwi girl. I'm an Aussie boy. We're both quite funny when we watch The Bachelorette. We're both ruthless.
Oh, Morgan is.
Yeah, good point. Got a phone call yesterday revealing whether we're going to be on it or not. And I've got Morgan on the phone now. Morgs, morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Morgs. Welcome to the show. I know how much you love coming on.
Now, I want you to get excited now, but because I'm playing the angry music, you already probably know the bad news, Morgs. The phone call revealed to us, and this is why I'm telling everyone to avoid this show on TV.
Oh, well, don't boycott it completely. Just maybe.
When did they call?
Yesterday afternoon, Morgs. They asked us where we lived. I told them Kiala. They said, is that a suburb of Melbourne or Sydney? I said,
basically.
I said, no. I should have said basically. I said, nah, it's just south of Shepparton in the country, about 2 hours north of Melbourne. They said, sorry, if you want to be a contestant on the show, you have to live in a capital city.
You're joking.
We're all out on Gogglebox. We're all out on Gogglebox, Morgs.
I'm disappointed. I'll be honest.
I'm disappointed that I can't watch you, Morgan. I mean, I feel like the people get enough of you, Josiah. But
creepy,
Morgs,
but okay.
Yeah. Can I just come and like stare outside your window instead? Watch you watching TV that way?
That's okay.
Maybe we should do that, Morgs. Should we just hit stream live on the Hit Goulburn Valley Facebook page, you and I watching The Bachelorette one night?
Oh, it wouldn't go down well. I don't think it's a great idea to begin with, to be fair.
I think if people actually heard what we do, so we'd probably get arrested.
Yeah, 100% will be put away.
We should have, last night, Morgan was cooking dinner, we were watching The Masked Singer, and I kept yelling, hey, Morgan, when are you going to take your mask off?
Oh, good gear, bro.
Yeah, that's good gear. What is that?
Morgan yelled back, when you put a T-shirt on. See, that's what could have been on Gogglebox.
Oh, mate, I'd be tuning in already. I feel like this is discrimination against the regions.
Yeah.
You know, just because we live in the country, kind of, we're not allowed on Cover Box.
Or maybe they're against people with accents, Morgan.
Oh.
Well, then you're out of the running.
Oh,
yeah.
Me.
You're Albanian, bro.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
Shepparton has launched a new little program with the Magistrates Court of Victoria and the Sentencing Advisory Council. It's called You Be the Judge Sessions. So it's a pretty cool thing. Basically, it's based on the premise that it's so easy for us to look at what's going on in the courts and the sentences that people are getting and say, like, oh, he should have got 20 years for that, when really there's so much more to it.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. So is this going to be in a real court or is it just going to be in the garden somewhere?
No, so it's kind of just like a public forum thing and you get to go in and you give it a crack, you know?
So is this like you get to have your say in how much they should get? For example, you see some people get away with, sorry to get heavy on you, like, you know, a pedophile or something, they only get 2 years.
Yeah.
And people are outraged they should get 30, 40 years or life. That sort of stuff?
Exactly.
Right.
Because you see the extenuating circumstances, you actually see all the different parts of the crime that they've done and, you know, often it's more, there's more to the eye. More than meets the eye, I should say.
If only they could replicate this in the real court of law. Maybe they're getting ideas so they can.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
What a good idea.
It is. So I thought we could have a go of it this morning, Josiah, and do Josiah and Ellie's You Be the Judge.
You know I'm pretty ruthless. I love the death penalty, so there could be a bit of that being handed around this morning.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of situations of crimes, and you're going to have to tell me how long you'd sentence them to jail for or whether you'd find them not guilty. Are you ready?
Death penalty.
Situation number one. A man stole $100,000 from a massive corporation, but then gave it to Beyond Housing in Shepparton. Massive corporation, like someone who doesn't really need $100,000. That's a drop in the ocean. He stole it. Yeah.
I would lock him up for stealing for 6 months on probation.
Okay.
However, I would award that they get to keep the money on grounds they didn't know it was stolen.
What do you mean they didn't know it was stolen? What, the massive corporation didn't know it was stolen?
The massive corporation didn't know the money was stolen, so they get to keep the money. Nah, they didn't because he stole it. So he knew. He gets probation 6 months. The corporation gets to keep the money only because they're a great cause. If it was a big company, though, different story. Like,
all right.
Like a company that doesn't need the money, like Hit.
Hey, our like shares got released yesterday. They weren't good. Anyway, what about... A man had a bomb strapped to him. He woke up with a bomb strapped to him. The only way he could get it off, right, but he had to throw it into a group of people. He threw it in a... No, sorry. Actually, I'm going to rephrase that. He had the choice to throw it into a group of people or the choice to throw it just into the bush, but under the stress of it all, he just flung it in whatever direction, hit the group of people and exploded.
Involuntary manslaughter. He killed more people when he could have killed nobody.
But it wasn't his fault that he had the bomb strapped to him.
Doesn't matter. He still killed some people.
He didn't mean to. It wasn't his intention. He was just stressed out, heat of the moment.
He had the option not to, though. Whoa, this is a tough
one. I know. See what I mean? There's so many. And, like, my dad is a judge. And he has this, like, obviously not these situations specifically, but there is so much more to it than you think.
Get 5 years for being an idiot. That's what I'll give him. 5 years for being dumb enough to throw it at a group of people when he had the option to throw it in the bush.
I'm going to strap a bomb to you later and see how you go.
Yeah, well, I would be dumb enough to throw it into a crowd of people.
How do you know how you'd react in that situation?
Because I'd throw it in the bush if I thought clearly enough.
All right, finally, me, Ellie Chaney, trips over your bag, Josiah, and I break my arm. I'm suing you for negligence. Do you have to pay anything?
I get off for being a good bloke.
Yeah.
You get the death penalty for suggesting it.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
I want to talk about dance floor injuries, Ellie, because I reckon you've got to rip a few stories up your sleeve. I know I've seen you on the dance floor. You are wild.
Pretty good.
But we caught up with Toby from Human Nature earlier in the week, and Boss Benny and I did the chat because obviously you were away. If you want to hear the full interview, it's up now on our podcast. Search Josiah and Ellie in the podcast store right now if you want to listen to the full thing. But there was one moment in particular where Toby revealed something about what happened to him when he was dancing with Human Nature.
I used to go to my osteopath and he'd say, you've dislodged your skull. Like my actual skull
That's
was sitting off where it should normally be sitting on my spine.
So
because the head movement was so full on.
Yeah.
So that's when they like put their head down and then fling it back up again?
All the way. So he's gone and done it so hard, which is awesome, but he's actually dislodged his skull. And I'm telling you what, when you're dancing, that is an extreme injury.
Yeah, I know. That's tearing up moves in a different way.
Oh, you, at least
you're
tried.
Not tearing up moves, you're tearing up ligaments. I don't know. Oh, I really needed to think it through.
I mean, you gave it a crack. That's what counts
Thanks.
With this show.
Lucky you gave your neck a crack when you. Oh, no, Ellie, come on.
Give up while you're behind, I reckon. No, but we've all had some. Surely, Ellie, I've seen you. You, when you've had a couple, you really let rip. I'm one of those ones that kind of sits back and observes a bit more, but yeah. You go hard on the dance floor. Have you ever injured yourself?
Not only have I injured myself, but I've also injured someone else.
Awesome.
I've injured myself because I did what the kids call a slut drop. I don't call it that.
Is that like the bend and snap from...
Yeah, it's just like...
What's that, Miss Congeniality? What movie is that? No, Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde, yeah. Now, the bend, the slut drop's like when you just like literally just drop to the ground really quickly and then you stand up. So it's like doing a squat at the gym.
Right, but on the dance floor.
But on the dance floor and a bit more sexier. Mind you, I don't do it very sexily.
So how'd you hurt yourself doing
it? So I did it and then I came up and they like pulled my groin. I was like hobbling off the dance floor. And then another time I was doing the sprinkler, which is a classic go-to Ellie Janey move, and I whacked my friend.
I understand why they call it the slut drop now. If you're injuring your groin from doing it, it makes sense. So what, you smacked your friend in the head when doing the sprinkler?
I smacked her in the arm and hit her hand and she was like, ah, it really hurt. I'm like, sorry that my moves are so dangerous. You know what I mean?
Oh, I would love stories like this because I know everybody's got one. We've all seen a friend hurt themselves or you've done it yourselves. 13, 12, 16, dance floor injuries. Are you an Ellie Chaney?
Let's go to Mike from Shep. Mike, have you had one?
I have, and it resulted in a black eye.
Yes.
It was one of those like parties where it was like throwback songs. Where, like, it was the Backstreet Boys, like, it was five, everybody get up, and, like, people, like, threw up their hands, and one person just whacked me in the face as soon as they threw up their hands. And, yeah, it was really hard, and I ended up bruised the next day. So, that was fun.
And how long did you have the black eye for?
It was there for a few days. It was hard to explain at work on the following Monday. But I mean, I can't, like, I don't blame the guy that actually hit me because, I mean, it was five after all. That's a banger.
Exactly. You're not wrong. Does this song give you a little bit of PTSD now, though?
A little bit. My eye is twitching, so that's fine.
I can imagine.
Mike's going to walk around like a pirate all day today because you've triggered him.
Oh, Mike, thanks so much for getting involved this morning.
Cheers, guys.
All right, let's move on to Chelsea from Yarrawonga. Chelsea, have you had a dance floor injury?
I have. I tore my ACL.
No way. That is one of the worst injuries you can get. How, why? Give us all the details.
Well, I was actually in dance class and I did a few moves I was really proud of and never done them before. And you know those little leprechaun jumps where you click your heels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like Dorothy from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I did that and on my way down, my knee collapsed.
Oh, where were you? Were you like what type of dance floor were you on? Was it a club or was it during the dance class?
During the dance class.
Okay, that's a little bit better because at least you know you didn't have heaps of drunk hooligans around you laughing at you.
Imagine that. That'd be even worse. And the recovery? What was it? 9 months, Chels?
Well, I actually didn't find out. I did it for 2 years.
What?
Yeah. So.
So you were just walking around on a busted knee for 2 years?
Yeah, still dancing for 2 years and found out completely tore it in half.
Damn, girl, that's good commitment.
It's a great story as well, though, Chelsea. At least if there's some sort of silver lining.
Not really.
You mean it's not all worth it now that you've called the radio station and told your story? I would have thought that'd be worth it.
Oh, yeah, that's all right then.
Yeah, okay. Oh, awesome story. Thanks so much for your call this morning, Chelsea. I hope your knee continues to get better from here.
Oh, me too.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
The other day, I was scrolling through news.com.au, which I do every day, and imagine my surprise when I scroll down and I see the picture of a man that we used to work with here at HIT. He used to be our engineer here. And there was a story about him on a plane snoring, and I thought we'd get his stepdaughter, Grace, on to tell us the story in proper detail because this is an absolute cracker. She joins us now. Morning, Grace.
Hello.
Hey, Grace. We're lucky that it was a nice story on news.com.au that he was a part of and not something like something else.
So tell us exactly what happened. Why has your stepdad gone viral?
Yeah, so he was about to leave for America for a business trip. And one night we were all just sitting on the couch and he had a little episode of, he started to snore and it was pretty loud this time. So it sparked the idea in my head and my mum's that we needed to make little care packages for the people around him on the plane, just to let them know in advance that he may have some, he may snore while he's sitting with them on the long haul flight.
So, Grace, when you're on that plane with him, were you going around to the people seated around him and handing out these care packages?
No, so Mum and I weren't actually on the plane. He was there by himself, and so we gave him the duty of going and giving them around.
Oh, so it wasn't even for your own benefit. It was purely for the people around you.
No.
That's crazy. So what did you put in the care packages?
So we just wrote a little note explaining what this is for and who we are, and two little Australian chockies and some earplugs.
What a brilliant idea. Now, news.com.au, obviously that's where we saw the story. They picked up the story. How did this then go viral? Because I saw Fox News in the States. They were showing this story as well.
Yeah, so I published it and just was talking about it on a women's group chat for traveling women I'm in on Facebook. And a lady from there is a reporter from the UK, and she saw it and reached out to me asking if she could release it over the at the UK. And so it kind of just sparked from there.
Yeah. Now, I know your stepdad, and he seems to be the type of man who doesn't love a lot of attention. How did he feel about it?
At first, he was pretty reluctant, but I think as he came to understand how his snoring can affect people around him, that he was pretty okay with the idea.
Grace, do we know if it worked? Did he end up snoring and did people end up loving the packages?
Well, he said that he handed out, we made 10 for him, and he said he handed out 6 and ate a few of them.
Classic tatters.
Yeah. But he said the plane was too loud, so they couldn't hear him anyway. I'm not sure if that was his hearing or the plane was actually that loud.
I'll tell you what, if that was me, Grace, and my daughter gave me a care package, I would have eaten the whole thing and I would have lied to your face and said I handed him out. No chance I would have done it.
Oh, so funny, Grace. Well, you've well and truly put Shepparton on the map, so congratulations on your ingenuity and good luck with being a viral sensation.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. Oh, that is such a good story. My dad snores. I've never thought to do that.
I know. You should next time he's on a plane. Thank goodness, like I said, that he was a good story on news.com.au.
Yeah.
If you saw your dad's face, you'd hope he's not like the poo jogger or something.
And that's your mum.
Oh, that's my mum,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, yeah. She was spotted in Sydney the other day.
Mum, can you stop doing that, please?
Are we ready?
The catch up with Josiah and Ellie.
How's this? Over in the States. Oh, sorry about my voice. Yes.
Still what happened over in the States?
Still warming up this morning. Three workers, they've been arrested for running a fight club at the place that they work.
Okay.
It gets bad though, and it's not funny because it's a terrible thing. Three ladies, they work at a care facility for those with dementia.
Oh, no, I do not like where this is going.
No, as someone whose grandmother had, or my foster grandmother had dementia, I do not approve of this message. They have been arrested, though. Good guys. What they were doing is, though, they were getting the people, when obviously other carers are around, and they were telling them to start fights, and different patients were fighting with each other, and they'll film it on their phones and streaming it live to Facebook.
Oh, God, how sick do you have to be?
Because you hear things like people, you know, even chicken fighting that goes around, dog fighting, all these different sorts of things, and they're disgusting. These people have taken it to the next level, though, and are doing it with real-life people.
Oh, that is disgusting.
There's some different people out there, but the good news, like I said before, they have been arrested for starting their very own fight club. The facility where it happened has since released a statement. Arrests and charges have been announced. They faced the judge the other night, actually.
Good.
And he asked the three of them, they said, why did you do this? And they all three of them turned around and said, the first rule of fight club is?
Oh, no.
We don't talk about it.
Josiah.
They then...
We're talking about it, though.
Right. They then went back to the home to speak to the people about it as well. Mm. They couldn't tell the first rule either because they can't remember.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, there's this radio station similar to ours over in America, in Utah.
Well, there's no such thing, obviously. If there's a station similar to ours, they'd obviously be same, same, just not quite there.
Yeah, yeah. Probably don't rate as well as we do. But then again, they've probably got more stations to compete with. It's called Mix 105.1 in Salt Lake City. And they decided to do a promotion. You know, every now and again we'll do competitions. Well, you know, like at the moment we're doing a show from the road where you could win $2,000 worth of fuel, so that type of stuff.
Fun sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They've decided to do one of their own, except their promotion involves the listeners renaming their entire station.
I wonder what was up for grabs. Like, did you get a prize if your entry won?
I don't think so. I think you just get bragging rights that you were the one to name the station.
So did they completely change it for good, or is it for one day only or something?
They are going to be changing it back, sadly.
Oh, that sucks.
I know, but you get the bragging rights for like a month or so. Anyway, so there was plenty of good options that came through from listeners' suggestions. Bodie McBoatface was one.
Awesome.
The Appreciation Station.
Yeah.
Mm, boring. Gen Z. Boring. Yeah. Area 50.
Oh, not bad. What was the name? It was
105.1.
Yeah, why would you not do Area 51 then?
Even area Area 50, 105.1.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Actually, I don't mind that one.
Not bad. How about this one? This one really plays into our hands. Goat 105.1.
Well, yeah, and they could have our goat, Vinnie Van Gogh,
yes,
as the symbol
the
for the
mascot.
Station. Oh, why didn't we think of that?
So true. Coming in at number 3 on 12% of the votes was Nightcat Radio. Boring. Coming in at number 2 was Big Hands, 101.1.
Lame.
Boring again. That got 19% of the votes. But scoring a massive 39% of the votes and winning the competition was Your Mum 105.1.
Yeah.
Well done, listeners in Utah. Well done. Proud of you.
Isn't Your Mum one of the great classic jokes? We pulled it out on this show a few times.
Imagine.
What year was that, a catchphrase, Your Mum? When it was the answer to every, it would have been primary school for me. Maybe?
I reckon early 2000s is when it kind of made its surgence.
Yeah, late, I'm 29, so late primary school, year 6, 7. So yeah, 12, 13 years old. You're right, early 2000s. Every answer that your mate said, Your Mum.
Yeah. Imagine me on this station coming off like that song we just came off. Regard, write it on Your Mum 105.1. Like, love it. Don't write it on Your Mum ever.
Well, what if you didn't understand the joke and you're some old codger that's just tuning in for the first time and they're hearing Your Mum FM, they're like, what about my mum?
Yes, I know. You defend so many people. But I'm proud of them. And I thought we could do a similar thing this morning. Like, look, we'll get your suggestions on what we should rename our station to and we'll put it to our boss later on. And see if he's on board, because at the moment, hit 96.9.
You reckon Boss Benny will let us have a bit of fun with this?
Yeah, of course he will.
Even if it's for one day only, we change, or even just for our show, like we get to change it for a day, it would be so good.
Yeah, he's all about us doing different things and, you know, taking the show to the next level. Well, this would be doing that.
All right, we'll kickstart us with a couple of ideas. What do you got?
All right, I like the idea of having it rhyme. So, like, fighting crime, 96.9.
Yeah.
No.
Are we fighting crime though?
Well, we are sometimes. We do investigative reports.
That's true. Oh, I came up with Cow FM just because of the cows around town.
Okay, moving on to the next suggestion. This is, how about this one? 969, Damn She's Fine.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I've taken one of your classic catchphrases on this show and I thought, imagine if our station turned into Yeah Buddy FM. That wouldn't be bad.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy, 96.9.
On Yeah, Buddy. Oh, it doesn't really roll off the tongue. 13, 12, 16. Have you got a suggestion for what we can rename our station to? And if you can rename our station, we'll get Boss Benny to give you a call and you can get the accolades.
Well, yeah, let's collect some now from you guys, 13, 12, 16. See what we come up with. This would be so much fun if he lets us.
Mac has got in touch. He said, your dad hit FM.
Well, yeah, he's kind of flipped their one on its head and done the same thing. What about the joke that they used to say after Your Mum FM went to the next level? Remember you used to say to your friends, your dad's your mum.
Your dad's your mum.
Did you never say that to your friends?
No.
It used to be like an insult. Your dad's your mum. So let's be your dad's your mum FM. Take them up another level.
Oh, look, it's a lot to spit out. Bear in mind, I have to do it like 20 times a show.
Well, don't get, you know what? If we're putting it out there, the listeners decide. You don't get a say, Ellie.
That's true. Well, your dad hit FM. What about if it's hit your dad FM?
Ooh.
As in, like, hit on your dad.
Oh, that's different.
Because I love, you know me. I love a dilf.
She does love a dad.
13, 12, 16, if you want to get involved this morning. Let's go to Katie from Shep. Katie, what do you think we should rebrand our station to?
Shep FM.
Huh?
Shep FM?
Shep FM, yeah.
I like that. Shep FM. Only problem is, what about all the other towns that miss out? You know, you've got your Cobrams, you've got your New Mercers, you've got your Kyabrams. You're obviously a Shep local. Yeah, you don't care about it.
What if you're listening in Finley this morning? Yeah. You're thinking, what's Shep FM?
Well, then it can be Finn FM out there. Guys, okay, look, Shep is the epicenter, all right? So they've just got to deal with it, okay? You guys, your studio, I've seen it. It's in Shepparton, so... Therefore, if you are on that location, we can just claim the name.
Yeah, it's a good point, Finn FM. We could do it with every different town. Like, how about Tally Group FM or, like, Tongal FM?
Yeah, but what if you...
It's not the same ring.
No.
Or what if you have to come off the song and say every single town's name as you come off the back? That'd take a very long time. It'd probably take you 3 hours.
That'd be a whole show, exactly. Look, I'll put it on the short list. Thanks for your suggestion, Katie.
Thanks, guys.
Let's move on. We've got someone calling through right now. Hello, you're live on the radio. Who's this?
It's Paul.
Hey, Paul, have you got a suggestion of what we should rename our station?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe like Chronic Heads or something.
Chronic Heads
Chronic
FM.
Chronic Heads. Is that like a rock band or something?
Nah, Hits.
Chronic Hits.
Oh,
because our hits are chronic.
Yeah.
And maybe, Paul, you get chronic fatigue when you listen to us.
Yes. So true. A chronic love for us every time you listen. I don't know. All right, Paul, we'll add that one to the list. Thanks for your suggestion.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
I learnt something this morning that has been bugging me for a while, and it's a phrase that the kids are using these days.
Oh, because you're not one of them
Well,
anymore.
That's the thing. It's like times like these you realise just how out of touch you are.
I know, you're 28 with grey hairs. It makes sense.
Well, we didn't need to get personal, but we did, so cool. The term is Stan. Have you heard of it before?
No.
So I want to give you the example that I had this morning. I was reading through an article about Love Island, and the girl writing the article was talking about a guy named Adam, who's one of the contestants, and she said, "I now stan Adam so hard, and you should too."
What? Is it like, Stan to someone's name?
Well, I thought it was Stan as in Netflix and Stan. You know,
oh,
like,
the TV series.
Yeah. So Stan, I'm like, are you watching him on Stan a lot, or what's the deal?
The only other Stan I know is the Eminem song.
Well, that's the thing, right? So it turns out Stan is a phrase the kids are using these days that is related to that Eminem song. That's kind of where it originated from. Stan. This one.
Great song, by the way.
And it means a crazed or obsessed fan. So it's between a mix between stalker and fan and goes to great lengths to obsess over people.
So if I find someone who listens to this radio show out the front of my bedroom window, I call them a Stan?
They stan you, I think.
Why don't I just use the word fan?
I don't know.
Or stalker.
Or just like really like.
Why do I forget all technical?
I don't know. It's like on fleek and like getting lit. Oh, no, I like getting lit. That's a bit of fun. But
the kids of today can't keep up,
kids,
Ellie.
Kids, what's going on with you? But there you go, parents. If your kids say they stan you, take it as a compliment is the moral of the story.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
This Friday, a very important event is happening in Shep, the Light the Night Walk. It's happening 6 p.m. at Vic Park Lake, and joining us to have a little chat about it this morning is one of the organisers, Alistair Hand. Morning, Alistair.
Good morning. Thanks
Mate,
for
this
having
is
me.
Such a good local initiative that you and your old man help organise. Tell us a little bit about the event.
Light the Night is to raise awareness and also funds for the Leukemia Foundation, and obviously just support families that have gone through or that are going through the terrible blood cancers.
And now, it's a brilliant cause, first of all, but it's something that's very close to your heart as well. Are you happy to share with your story about where you've been and where you're at now as well with the people that don't know you or your story?
So back in 2016, January 3rd it was, I was 22 years old, just going through life. Woke up at about 2 a.m., felt like someone was just stabbing me in the ribs every breath. And I'd always had a bad back, but I was just like, went and saw mum. She's like, have Panadol, go back to bed. She's a nurse. Didn't really care too much, obviously.
So you're just whinging again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then she came back in because I was curled up in a ball just crying because it was hurting so bad. So we went down to emergency, had an x-ray and a blood test, and they thought it was pneumonia, which are like, that's weird, like your age this time of year. So then they just put me on antibiotics and sent me home. I was going to go back that afternoon for more antibiotics, and they gave us a call and said, oh, you have to come back in, your bloods have been flagged, we need to have a chat. And mum being a nurse, she knew that wasn't good. Also, my cousin had been diagnosed 18 months before me, So my family had already been going through the leukemia journey. So went back down. The doctor then said it's a possible blood cancer. And I was just like, nah.
Surely not.
It's not. I'm all right. Like, I'm fine. That afternoon, got a call from Olivia Newton-John Center at the Austin. Hey, you have to come down right now. So family came around, said goodbye, didn't tell friends or anything, packed a bag. Mum's like, you got to pack a bag. I chucked one pair of jocks, one pair of shorts. She's like, I think you're going to have to pack more. I'm like, nah, I'm going to go down and they're going to tell me that it was a mistake. Mum, she just let it go, obviously.
And then how many months later, how long did you end up at the hospital for and how big was that journey from there?
I had 3 rounds of chemo. So I had my first, I went in and was in lockdown for 27 days. Couldn't go outside because my immune system was shot. So I'd had a round of chemo and then you wait till your bloods go down and then recover again. I came home for about 4 days and then went back down, had another round of chemo, had about 4 days out just at a hotel, which the Leukemia Foundation funded for mum and dad to live in. This is why this event is so important because they fund accommodation and things like this for families. I was going to be going home after a couple of months. They thought the chemo had worked well. I went into remission after the first month. And then after my second round of chemo, they talked about a stem cell transplant. And I was like, what?
What's going on? Why do I need that? Yeah.
So I was the first one to be tested in Australia for there's mutated genes. And mine was the RUNX1 mutation. The studies had shown that it's a high rate of it coming back if you have this gene. So they're like, you have to have a stem cell transplant to wipe the system. So I went home for 3 months, got told just to eat heaps and get fit because you'll need all the strength you can. And then went back in July of 2016 for a stem cell transplant and was in lockdown for another 28 days, I think. Cool. It was.
Doesn't stop.
Nah, because that round of chemo's worse than the rest because it's wiping your cells so they don't ever come back. So that round was terrible. I didn't eat for 2 weeks, was on fentanyl infusion constantly for the pain, felt like I was just swallowing golf balls wrapped in razor blades. Ooh. like the worst. If the Leukemia Foundation didn't fund mum and dad living down there, like obviously they weren't working or anything, they would have been up for so much money.
So what about from your journey from then till now? Are you fully recovered? Is there a chance it could come back? Because you're looking very good now.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that. There's always a chance. They say the 5-year mark sort of is cured, but I probably have just as much chance as you or Ali at the moment. At my doctor, I had a chat with them and they're like, is there any issues? Usually after a stem cell transplant, your bone density and your lung capacity are the ones that get affected really bad. But they said mine are amazing. Like they're nearly better than before. Like,
that's amazing.
So you're doing extremely well. Is there anything else? And I'm like, I'm just tired all the time. And they're like, unfortunately, fatigue is just something that'll be a forever thing. People are 30 years past the stem cell transplant and get tired. So
it's still part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, so I just have to learn to live with that, unfortunately, and learn when to slow down.
Yeah, of course. Well, hey, if you've been affected by Alistair's story and you want to help out, or if you or anyone you know is suffering from blood cancer, make sure you get to the Light the Night Walk this Friday night. It's happening at 6 p.m. at Vic Park Lake, and there's going to be entertainment there. Jess and Nick are going to be performing. Also, the Shep Rotary Club's putting on a barbecue. And Little Amusements also going to be there selling, you know, twisty potatoes and hot cinnamon donuts and all of that. So it's going to be a great event. Alistair, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story this morning.
Thank you. Hit Breakfast with Desire and Ellie.